Now, brethren, that's just the way it is. God elected his people. He chose his people in his son before the world began. Only because he loved them. There was nothing in you, nothing in me, or any of us, or any of the Lord's people, that would commend us unto God, that he might look in favor upon us. Because we know by the teaching of the Spirit that we are ever one, and we're dead in trespasses and in sins, and without God and without hope in the world. And while some of us were, as Saul was, he was feeling he was doing God's service, but he was wrong about it. But some are not even interested in any kind of religion, perhaps. But I tell you right now, my brethren, there's no religion except the religion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no man that has an hope except he that is born of the Spirit of our God. And that is a mysterious thing, because Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so, except that the Father begins a work in us and performs the work until the day of Jesus Christ, my brethren, we're in bad shape. If we begin a work by our own exertions, those things, that work is going to fail. We may go out and feed swine, and fain would we eat of the husk that the swine did eat. But when the Lord turns us Zionward, when he puts his Spirit in our hearts, we can no longer eat those husks that the swine enjoy. We must have, I'll go back to that, to the sincere milk for the word. But let us go on now. The church, as I said, is full, is complete. I love to look at a building when every brick is in place. Everything is fitting, we would say perfectly. Every shingle on the roof is there and in place. And I love that. I like to see those things. But if there's one brick missing somewhere, one shingle off the roof, or one board that is loose and being blown about, how terrible it is. I'll tell you, my brethren, and how unattractive it is, but I'll tell you, this church of the true and the living God is a perfect church. It's built up of lively stones into a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I said a moment ago not to attempt to offer up legal sacrifices anymore as an atonement for our sin, but rather the sacrifice of praise and honor and glory for what the Lord our God has so wonderfully done for us. Now he goes on here and he says, wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now that's Jesus, of course. And then he says, unto who you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. It mattered not how the Satan should and did tempt Jesus when it ended his fast of 40 days. He accomplished nothing. He didn't accomplish anything. Mattered not how much they opposed Jesus and his doctrine and the apostles, it mattered not. They seem sometimes to have accomplished much, accomplished the purpose. But they were not counting on, because they did not know anything about that God who does his will. Men and devils alike are in the hands of this God. And therefore he does his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Those that are disobedient, those who rejected him, yea, those who stoned Stephen to death, those who finally, according to the eternal will and the purpose of God, brought false witnesses, and Jesus was crucified, condemned and crucified. The stone, even with all of that, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner. Isn't that wonderful? They wanted to get rid of it. Not one time, but I don't know how many times. They wanted to get rid of it. And they did everything that was humanly possible for them to do so, but sometimes Jesus would say, you remember, mine hour is not yet come. So no man could lay hands upon him. But then the time came when he said, mine hour is come. Then it was the time. Yes, he said, the stone which the builders just allowed the same is made a head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even of them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Well, a lot of people wouldn't have such doctrine as that. Whereunto they were appointed. But that's what Peter said under the power of the Spirit of our God, saying that we've gotten again unto a lively hope. That was by the Spirit and the power of God. But there were others that had never been born. And there are others, perhaps we might very truthfully say, that will never be born the Spirit of God. These are those who are classified as a disobedient. They disallowed the even the head of the corner, Jesus. For the church is built upon Jesus, built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. They disallowed him. They wouldn't have him. And brethren, the terrible thing of it is, in my way of looking at it sometimes, they're still disallowing him. They're still denying salvation by the grace of God. They're still denying that there's such a thing as a spiritual house. The church is a spiritual house built up of spiritual characters who have been born of the Spirit, have been born, every one of them been born of the Spirit because God had chosen before the world began. But they won't have that. They're saving the world, apparently, in their feelings. That's what they desire. I remember so well as a boy that when I was going to the Sunday schools way back there 50, 60 years ago, 60 years ago now, maybe a little more, that it was the chief talk about what great things we're going to do. All we have to have is money. If we get the money, we can get the men, we can get the preachers, we can get the missionaries, and we can get those who will go through all the world and teach them morality, and we can persuade them by every means, every manner, by scaring them to death. They didn't say that, but that's what I have seen them try to do. Scaring them to death. And when one being scared of hell and the devil, and he said, I accept Jesus as my Savior, my brethren, he hasn't done a thing in the world except these things from a natural standpoint. He must be born again. And by no stretch of the imagination is that anything like a being born of the Spirit of God. It just isn't. Now, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation. Peculiar people. Chosen generation. You know, God chose Israel not because they were great people or many people, more than other people, but he chose them simply because he loved them. And so they were a chosen generation. They were a royal priesthood. Because as they were made in this wonderful and glorious manner, kings and priests unto God. Yes. They need not, my brethren. You need not. The Church of the Living God doesn't need a priest that's here in the world. It doesn't need a minister that's in the world. Because you, if you're given the grace of God, are unable to enter into the very throne of heaven and God himself in the name of this mediator, the only mediator, the one mediator between us and God. And if we go before Jesus, before our God in prayer, my brethren, you ever remember a time that you wound up or ended your prayer by saying, these things I ask in the name of Jesus, my Savior? No, you never have. You can't go any other way. It's in him. And him alone. Now, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a nation that God loved in natural Israel. It's a nation, my brethren, that Daniel was talking about, that God in those days should set up a kingdom which should never be destroyed. Yes, that's the same kingdom he's talking about. Yes, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, I don't believe that he means that the Lord's people are just peculiar in their ways and manners, because I have seen some of just as gracious people among the Lord's people, among the old school Baptists, as if I've ever seen anywhere. But who's he talking about? He's talking about those who just cannot go along with the doctrine of the world. Peculiar in that way. Yes, we call peculiar people, because mainly we believe that salvation is by grace. Mainly we believe that the church is made up of those characters elected by God the Father, chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began, and then brought to the new birth in which Jesus revealed to them as a Savior. That makes a person a peculiar people, doesn't it? Yeah, we have no trust, we have no time to look to, nor any good word for those things which are contrary to and just exactly opposite to the doctrine of God our Savior. So we are peculiar people, that we should show forth the praise of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, that's the whole desire of every one of these who's thus been wrought upon, thus been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, which is mentioned a little bit further along. And we give God thanks for his wonderful grace, his wonderful mercy. Thanks for giving us the love that we have for our brethren. Thanks for giving us that we are an humble people. Often, how often have we, as I believe it was Peter, I guess it was Peter that said, humble yourselves therefore before God. And how often we come trembling before him. Not because we're afraid of him, but we know what we are. And that it is only by his grace that we are what we are. Now, my brethren, I know I've skipped around. I hope, though, that I've said something that in your very inmost feelings you can say amen, if I have. And that's where it belongs, and that's where you will give it. Give the thanks, the praise, the honor, and the glory unto your God who has done such great things for you.